our first subject for the conference call is probably one that people might have a lot of questions about because it's basically defining the rules as written. And there has been a lot of talk here and there about rule changes, but really there aren't any significant rule changes. It's just that we are asking everybody to call the rules as written. Impeding hasn't changed. It's the same in the rule book as it was last year. Exclusion fouls are basically the same as they were last year. However, what we're trying to accomplish is to have more freedom of motion on the perimeter, allow for more driving, and not to have quite the same level of physicality that we've had in the past at the center forward and the center forward D position. What's happened so far this season, at least it's what I've observed, and I was at Princeton. We had 30 games. UCLA was there. Stanford was there. Santa Clara, Air Force Academy, Cal Baptist, and then the majority of the East Coast teams were there. And we did our Dartfish evaluations, and I thought the referees that were there, we had Scott Boltz, we had Mike Gordon, and we had Gabriel and Mejia Amato, and we had Val Veselchikov, and we had Misha Veselchikov. And I thought they did overall a very, very good job, and they adapted quite well. And we really had no comments from Stanford. We had a little discussion with Adam from UCLA, and that basically was trying to get an interpretation on use of two hands at 2 meters, which we can get into at another time. But basically, I thought everything was received quite well. Some of the teams that were very physical last year may have been a little bit uneasy. There were a lot of exclusions. And actually, there were a lot more penalty fouls called than there have been in the past. And, you know, basically I attribute this to applying the rules as written and what we're asking of the officials to do. Things that they might not have called last year because they thought, well, that's bad offense, or that's a bad pass. That thought trend really doesn't apply now. Basically, you know, if there's a hold and freedom of motion is being prevented and there's a gain, there's leverage gained or an advantage gained, you know, that's what we're looking for. And exclusion foul is pretty much gonna follow on that. It's kind of like there's a dual burden of responsibility for the defender and the offensive player, both. The defender needs to show they are not preventing or hindering movement, and the offensive player needs to show that they're not preventing, the defender is preventing freedom of motion, and they are not leveraging and taking advantage over the defender. So there has to be some significant show. If you wind up getting into a lockdown position, whether it be one hand or two hands, and you don't see who the initiator is, then you have to wait to see how it's going to play out. And if one player decides that they want to make a move, whether it be offensively or they want to make a move defensively to get around the front of the 2 meter center forward, then if you see that something is being restricted, then that's when you make the call. And the ball does not have to be going into the center forward position. If you see a situation where there is a pass from the deep wing into a driver coming down the pool with an advantage, no longer do you really judge that by, is the pass too high or is the pass too low? You look to the defender and you see what the defender is doing. If the defender is holding and sinking and using that player as leverage to go up for the ball, then that's going to be a penalty foul. And if it's a bad pass into the center forward from outside and it skips along, and the defender is all over the center forward and fouling, you don't go, well, that's a bad pass, so I'm not going to call anything. You look to see what the defender is doing. If the defender is fouling, then you go ahead and call it. So basically, you are now starting to call fouls in favor of the offense. You're not trying to determine whether it's good or bad offense. You're trying to determine, is there a foul? And if there is a foul, you call it. Of course, this is all trumped by the advantage rule. And you have that trump card that you can use. And you want to apply that smartly. And basically, that's a whole different subject, which we can get off or is online for another discussion. So with that in mind, I want you all to make sure that you have that document in front. And if you click on that first link, you are going to wind up going into Dartfish TV. And there are a few things that I want to educate you to when using this. And hopefully I just clicked on, and I am now with 1A, which is penalty foul. Defender rides driver to left post, pass from P5. Okay, if you're on that and you take your cursor and you move it up to the picture, you'll automatically see that it shows you controls. On your far left, you have the start button. You can also start it from the middle of the picture on the white arrow. But going back to that far left corner on the play button, next to it are two numbers, 1/1. What this is whether or not you want to play it in slow motion, you can go halftime or you can go quarter time. And if you click on that button, you can see how it'll change. It changes to 1/2. And if you click it again, it changes to 1/4. And then to get it back to 1/1, you just press it again and you get 1/1. Now to the right of that, you have two arrows. These arrows can be used to go frame by frame, forward or in reverse. Then to the right of that, you have a timeline so that you know at what point a certain part of the, if you stop the clip in the middle, you'll see it records the seconds or the tenths of the second that that frame is on. And I might make reference to this as we go through and look at some of these videos, so make sure you pay attention to that. If you go over to the far right, you can see where you can take and you can expand that picture of the full screen. If you look to the left of that, you'll see a speaker, and obviously that is the sound. Now, when your cursor is up there and you see these controls, you look at the top of the screen, and this happens to be a clip that is pretty well defined. It gives you the type of foul. It's a penalty foul. It gives you a little bit of an explanation. And all this happened when it was being tagged. You see what period it was in. You see the position of the referee, the perimeter. And in this particular clip, Scott Bolts was the referee. Now, above that, there's home, collections, and videos. Now, you don't need to worry about that right now. But in the future, if you want to go into Dartfish TV, most of these clips are all public so that anybody can go in and you don't have to have a password or you don't have to sign in. If any of you have signed in before, you'll probably get asked for your password. And if you had forgotten your password, then you have to go to the home and to the sign-in, and that gives you instructions on how to get your password from Darkfish TV. I cannot give you your password. I have no idea what it is. So you have to go through them to either reset your password or retain it. As we look at the screen now, and you look down below, you can see that there are a couple of, there's a penalty foul, and there's defender rides, driver to two pass from 5P. And those are just ways that you can search for different things. You can use the search box, and you can find out all the public penalty fouls that are available on Darkfish TV. And they may be in a different collection. This collection basically is referee education with the date of 092718. And that's the name of the collection. So for future reference, if you want to go back and review any of these clips, you can. And all you have to do is go to that collection. And that collection is the, I believe it's the first one in order on the CWPA, Collegiate Water Polo Association channel. This is called a channel that we have and making it available in public so referees can go in and take a look at things. Or coaches can go in, or anybody, basically. There are a few collections that I keep private because I may be working on them. There may be some collections that are limited, which I would give the link out to, and I might invite one or two referees to go on at some point in time and take a look. They may have requested something that I have videoed. So that's how we operate and use that. If you click on videos, it just shows you all the videos. And they can't all fit on one page, obviously, because there's hundreds of them. But that's one way that you can kind of review what is on this particular channel. But the best bet is to go to collections if you come back on at another time. Okay, we are... okay, I see I have my first email. And I'm going to check on this just to see. Oh, okay. Somebody's telling me they're on their home phone. And so apparently they do not have a computer access. All right, here we go. Here's the first video. So I want you to review it once. So click on the arrow and take a look at it. Okay, that was about 9 seconds. Take a look at it one more time. All right. Now, once you clicked on it, you see that there's a yellow bar with a white circle. That bar, you can move forward and back. So you can expedite yourself to the end of the clip very quickly, or you can move it to a significant point in the clip. Now, if everybody will go to about the, let's say, go to 3.26. If you go to 3.26, you can see that the position 5 has the ball up and dry and is about to get ready to pass to the driver that's coming in. Now, if you move it very, very slowly, that bar, you'll see that the defender has one hand down and basically is riding on that offensive player. Now, to determine whether or not in the past, some referees might say, well, that pass was not catchable, it was too high. Well, one of the reasons why it may appear to be not catchable is because the defense is following. The defense has one hand down, they're riding on the body, and therefore They're not allowing the offensive player to get up as high as they want to get up. And that's the one of the things that we want to kind of take out of the formula. We want to make sure that if the defense is fouling in this type of situation, he shouldn't be fouling. And therefore, it should be a penalty foul because it's a foul that occurred inside the five. And it can be even an impeding foul. It's any foul inside the five for which a goal could be scored. And that's a penalty shot. So take a look at that one more time. And you can try the slow motion if you want to see how it looks in slow motion and see if you can follow it through. And I'll give you about 30 seconds to do that. Okay. And hopefully you could pretty clearly see. And as you can see, as you look, there is a, this is high definition. So that even when we slow it down, we get pretty good clarity as far as the videos are concerned. It's not going to be as good as the original clip if you were to take it and put it on the computer and take a look at it, or if you look at it right as it happens on the Darfish software program. That's not going to happen. It loses a little bit when it goes into the collection. Okay. Let's go to the second video, which is labeled 1B. And this is a very similar situation, but it's taken from down the other end. And go ahead and review that video, if you would, please. That's about a 10-second clip. And most of these clips are within that range, plus or minus a second. And you can see I put an arrow in there so that you have a little bit better idea from the beginning where the particular player is that you should be keeping an eye on. And, of course, the other thing that I should point out is that the video camera is at a very different angle than the attack referee or the perimeter referee. Sometimes this works to an advantage, sometimes it works to a disadvantage. And if there's a question of a doubt, when we take a look at these clips and we're evaluating an official, we keep that in mind. And sometimes in the evaluation process, I have to say, hey, you saw something that the camera didn't see. And so I have to go with your call, basically because you're in a better position to see it. But by going into I just had a question, and let me see what that question was. Did White get away with a push-off to get into initial position? If we're talking about the second video, there may have been a slight push off at the beginning. I don't know whether that is really significant enough. As I look at it, and this is in the first second or two. And obviously that was not in the picture as far as the attack referee is concerned. That would be a little bit hard for him to see. The perimeter referee may have been in a little bit better position to see if he was not watching something else. Does get a little bit of a gap, but the defense recovers and uses his left hand and arm to try to get up and influence the pass in. and that was a penalty foul that was called by Scott Foltz. Okay. Let's go to number two. I'm sorry, that's number two on my outline here, but let's go to the third link. And everybody can click on the third link and go ahead and review. And review at whatever speed you wish. And I'll give you a little bit of time. The clarity on this is a little bit better because the lighting is better. It's outdoors, and we always get good clips when we have sunlight, much better than indoors. And you can see that the ball started off at T3. And basically it was an ordinary foul. And if you look at about 2.93, you can see where the center forward D is already basically sinking the 2 meter center forward at 2 meters. And basically, she's already committing an exclusion foul. And the offensive player is trying to fight back, to fight into position and get a little bit of leverage by moving back into the defender. But you can see that the defender comes right over the top. And basically, even though that ball kind of slides out, that should be an exclusion foul, in which it was called an exclusion foul. Or Scott, sorry, this was not called an exclusion foul. This was a no call. I'm getting a couple of more texts here, so just review that. And let me just check and see. And one of the questions was, in video 1B, was there any question as to being an offensive push-off? And yes, we briefly discussed that, but that was not, it did not come into the picture when that call was actually made by Scott Foltz. He was watching, basically watching that defender drive in. Could it have been a push-off? If the referee thought it was significant enough to space, yes, it could be. The other message I have, I can hear you on my phone, but I'm not sure what I should be watching. I can't help that question because you should have the outline in front of you with the links to the videos. And after this session is over, if you want to give me a call, I'll be happy to walk you through the process. Okay, so you've had a chance to take a look at the third video. Now, this particular video was one that Bob Korb used in his presentation for applying the rules as written. The first two, I took those at Princeton and added them in. Okay, we'll move forward now to 3A. And 3A is basically an exclusion foul that's called when the ball is on the perimeter. And as I said before, we are seeing this called more often because the referees that were at Princeton were basically trying to cut down on the level of physicality at 2 meters, particularly at the beginning of the game. There were a lot more exclusion fouls called, But the interesting thing was teams started to adjust as the tournament went along. And coaches started to adjust because they knew if this was going to be a consistent call, that they could work with their center forward defenders and make sure they weren't getting into exclusion foul situations. And I know with the coaching that I'm doing just on a club basis, I'm doing a lot of work on that so that I make sure that my players don't get into that situation. And explaining to them legal and illegal use of hands, what can get you into trouble and what can't get you into trouble. But that's for a coach to determine. That's not for the referees to determine. The referees are there to call the game as they see it in a fair and unbiased way and as consistently as they possibly can. So, with that in mind, let's take a look at three A. Now, in 3A, as you can see, it's an exclusion foul. The center forward D is excluded while the ball is on the perimeter. So take the time to run that through. And that's pretty clear. If you take a look at the behavior of the two-meter defender, you can see that they're coming over the shoulders, basically, and they're doing a fair amount of holding. And she came over pretty good the first time as the ball was going down to the wing position. And the ball gets sent back up, and that's when the exclusion foul was called. So again, you can call an exclusion foul at center forward if you feel, in your opinion, that the center forward D is committing a hold, sink, or a pullback foul and the ball is on the perimeter. You do not have to wait for the ball to go in to the center forward. And basically, by looking at it this way, you are now calling in favor of the offense, which is one of the things that we talk about in the rule book. The defense is taking advantage of the center forward. You now have a situation where the ball is moving around up top, and maybe that drop D is coming back. It doesn't matter the fact that the drop D is coming back. It should matter to that center forward defender that the drop is coming back, because that kind of relieves them a little bit of having the foul. But in this case, the young lady who is playing the center forward D does foul. Okay, I just had a text message. You missed my first two messages. Yes, I probably did, but I've got to keep moving forward. So if that person would please feel free to give me a call later. I can run through the whole thing with them. Okay, 3B. Let's take a look at 3B. Exclusion foul, center forward D, hands down, hold. And again, the ball is on the perimeter. So take a look, run this through. If somebody out there doesn't have the agenda, you can text Tom Tracy with their email and he will forward it. So if that's the problem with the first questionnaire that I had missing, just call Tom Tracy or text him at 610-662-6464. Okay, so you had a chance to take a look at this. And again, basically what it is, it's the center forward defender getting very excessive in how they are working against the center forward. And basically, they're starting off right at the very top, right over the top. And basically, that's holding and sinking. And if it's affecting the offense, then it should be called, even if the ball is on the perimeter. Now, one of the things that UCLA did at Princeton, which is very obvious, is they try to get their two-meter defenders to put two hands on the back so that they can kind of protect themselves in terms of center forward moving back on them, and it prevents them, the center forward defender, from getting on top of the center forward. And this is a technique that's been used over the years. I noticed that very predominantly internationally when I was working with the national team. And it's a very good technique. And that's the only way you can kind of prevent yourself from getting your hips down. Because once you get your hips down, and if the center forward has their hips up, then they're automatically going to have some leverage over the center forward defender. So that's something you can kind of keep in mind as you're watching. Once that center forward defender gets his hips down, if that's a real good center forward, and that center forward is moving back into that defender, there's going to be trouble for that defender, and it's going to be a great opportunity for that center forward to get some kind of shot off. So they're very vulnerable when that happens. Just kind of keep that in mind. Okay. Let's move on, and we'll go to the next clip. So go ahead and click on it, and I will do the same. Which is number 5 for me. Okay, no call, center forward D, hands up, without fouling, drop takes the ball. So basically that explains the whole thing. I apologize for the, it's a little bit dark, so if you put it in the slow motion, it will pixelate a little bit, but you still can get a pretty good idea of what happens in this particular sequence. You can see how high that defender got up, and somebody might say, well, did he push off to get up that high? And that's a good question. When you go back and take a look at it, which you should look at all the time when you are calling this position, if he pushes off hard and sinks the center forward, then yeah. I mean, he could have used his hands to get up high. But in this particular case, I don't see that because there's a combination of factors which I take a look at when I evaluate these films. Most of the center forwards will move back into the center forward defender. And by doing that, they automatically lower themselves in the water because they're applying force against the center forward defender. And in this particular situation, it looks pretty doggone clean to me that he got up there and got up there really well and just kind of reached over for the ball because that center forward D was so low that he could do that, flips the ball away, and now the drop comes in and simply takes the ball and moves away. And basically, that's how this particular no-call was evaluated. At the NC2A championships. These are extremely extraordinary athletes that the power in their legs is remarkable. And you have to take that in consideration, the level that you're working at. It's going to be different when you are calling at the club level, because you're not going to have the athletes quite, their ability is quite as good as you'll see on some of these clips. And probably in the future, what I should do is try to find something on the club level and kind of put it in so you can see the contrast. Okay, we got that first troubleshoot taken care of. All right, we're on number five. And again, if you have any comments or any questions, you can text me at 205-233-1826, or you can email me at edswinpolo@charter.net. And before we go to our next clip, I'm going to log back in to my account. And it looks like I have two questions. And I'll see if I can answer the first one. If my computer would only work fast, it would be great. Okay, while I'm waiting for that to come up, let's go on to clip number, or the next clip, which is a no-call, a dry pass into the center forward. And I'll get that up on my screen. Okay, number six. No call, center forward D appeared to show clean two hands, dry pass to center forward. And as you look at this one, you can probably see. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find this question and my email on the other computer is not cooperating. And it's not cooperating on this one either. So texting is the quickest and the best way to do it. But take a look at the no call. Center forward D appeared to show clean two hands, dry pass to center forward. Of course, when you get a dry pass going in, it's probably 50-50 anybody's ball. And that's a tough situation. And as you take a look at this clip, now, if you take it back below 9 seconds and you take a look at it, right probably at the 3.9 seconds, you can see the position of the center forward. The center forward is using two hands on the back to hold her position and to resist the force that the center forward is applying in a backward direction. She's not on top of the center forward, which is a good thing. Now, the question when the women's water polo always is one of those hands down and grabbing the back of the suit? But that's a totally different issue, and we'll be covering that in one session. So if you move it forward a little bit, you can see how she maintains her position. She's holding her position, and then she goes up for the ball at the same time, basically, as the center forward does, and knocks the ball down, puts two hands up in the air to show I'm not fouling, and allows the drop defender to go. In this type of situation, the burden responsibility is always on the two-meter defender when the drop is coming to show they are not fouling by getting two hands up in the air. And if a coach were to complain about too many exclusion fouls and the two-meter defender position, and you can simply, you know, just say, if the hands are down and they're holding, sinking, or pulling back, it's going to be an exclusion foul regardless of the drop coming in. But if the defense shows two hands and I'm not fouling and puts themselves in a vulnerable posture with two hands up in the air, then basically you have a no-call situation. And that's what happened here. Okay, moving on to the next clip. Okay. That was six. Okay, now we're into 7A, which is my 7A. You don't have to worry about that. I'm just saying the number out loud. In this particular clip, it will show offensive foul, center forward pushing up on center forward defender to position. This is an unusual situation. Most of you are not going to see this many times, but I put it in there just so you get an idea of how the offense, the center forward, needs to show that they're not fouling to take advantage of the center forward defender. So run this clip through. And again, you can slow it down, you can stop it, and you'll notice that there's a triangular box, which I can use to get a closer view. By getting a closer view, it gets a little fuzzy. But if you take it, and you will see, and you can see that the center forward is pushing up on the hips of the center forward defender. And that was called as an offensive foul. And immediately I had somebody that piped up that they totally disagree with that. Well, that's your prerogative. I can only say that in discussions and in reviewing this, this is what we determined as an interpretation as to that would be an offensive foul. And if you take it back, and I'll try to see if I can find it. That offensive player turns in and is using two hands on the defender. And he is initiating and making the first move by pushing up and pushing back on that defender. So I would take him as the initiator, and I would agree with the official for calling the offensive foul. And that is what the call was. Obviously, there are some clips that we could debate to the end of the earth, and not everybody is going to completely agree. I can only tell you from my viewpoint and show you how I evaluate a particular clip and how I go through an evaluation process with the referee and what we discuss and what we talk about. I'm not always right. And sometimes the referee will point out to me, did you take this into consideration? This is what I saw from my vantage point. And I'll go back and take a look at it again and say, you know, you're right. I didn't take that into consideration. And that's how we arrive at some type of decision on whether or not that was a good call, or whether maybe that shouldn't have been called, or maybe it should have been a different call. Okay, let's go to 7B. And take a look at 7B. Okay, you've had a chance to take a look at 7B. I'm sure you've done it a couple of times by now. 7B, the offensive foul. Center forward engages, center forward D then goes underwater, wrestles for positioning, and basically it was a duck under foul that was called. We would have an interesting discussion on this. In the fact that if you go to 5.27, you can see how the center forward defender is kind of on top of the center forward. And possibly there might be consideration that this would be or could be an exclusion foul right here. You also see the center forward reacting to that particular position and now trying to relocate himself because the ball is now going down to the wing position, the P5 position. And they want to obviously try to get the ball into the center forward from there. So he's trying to reposition. And in doing so, the center forward D throws his hands up in the air and says, hey, come on. I'm not going to foul right now, right here. And the center forward ducks under. And basically, that's a foul. It's an ordinary foul. And the ball should turn over. And that's what was called at this particular game by Alex Stankiewicz. Okay. Let's take a look at the next clip. We only have two more to go. And this one is marked number 8 on my script, but it should be the next to the last one on yours. And basically, this one is offensive foul. Center forward pushes off to backstroke for spacing. Sometimes this can be a tricky situation. But take a look at it a couple of times. Now, the beauty of this starfish and the clips, the camera's up nice and high here, so you can pretty much see everything. And if you take it really, really slow and you look through, you can see the position right about at, I'd say, 1.53. And you take it and click it frame by frame. You can see that there was a definite push because there's a definite action and reaction between the offensive player and the defensive player. And that's what you should look for in this particular situation. Is it truly a push-off? Is there an action and reaction? The action of the offensive player, either kicking off or pushing off the offensive player. If you see that action and you see the reaction, then you obviously can call it. I've got somebody that's texting me a comment on each clip. If you have a question, that's great, but your comments on each clip is not helpful to keeping this thing moving on. So please, have your questions, have your comments, email me at swimpolocharter.net or text me at 205-223-1826. Okay, so you've had enough time to take a look at that. We kind of talked about it a little bit. And let's go to the last clip. This one is going to be an interesting clip. And I'm sure that people would love to discuss this thing in several different ways. But in all fairness, I'm not going to comment. I'm going to have you take a look at it. After you've had a chance to take a look at it, I'll tell you what my take is on it. And obviously, you can agree or disagree with it. But at least it will be a learning situation, hopefully. And look carefully at it. And remember, this is inside 5 meters. I'll throw that little clue out. When I saw this and took a look at it, I went, oh my goodness. Because I watched the defender, and this happens a lot in the power plays, where the defenders will use their offensive counterpart to elevate and get up. And in this particular situation, if you go to 9.94, you can see there are two players with their hands up in the air trying to block the shot attempt. But the player that's closest to you in the viewing has one hand down on the defender and actually almost completely submerges that defender, or I said that offensive player, excuse me. The defender almost completely submerges that offensive player. Now, if you go a little bit further, you can see that his head does go underwater completely. You see that that player actually got a hold of the ball and deflected it a little bit. And afterwards, you look at the player's reaction, and he pats himself on the head with his hand up in the air, indicating that, hey, I got a piece of the ball. That should not be a corner throw. So he basically incriminated himself by using the offensive player to go up and block the shot on goal, and that would be an automatic 5-meter penalty. It wasn't called. Instead, it was a corner throw because they thought that the ball was deflected by the goalie and not by the field player. And that was taken at Princeton this year. So that basically wraps up everything that I was going to cover tonight. And I would really appreciate your feedback as to whether you felt this was beneficial. I do have a question. And so what about some of these clips that show pushing off 2 meters by the 2-meter D right off the contra on the counterattack? Do you want these called contras? Well, if your opinion and, it's you're in a position to see, and one of the things on counterattacks, as soon as that ball turns over, it's like I want to situation. I want to take advantage of you, and both teams have that same idea in mind. And if you're looking carefully enough and you see that somebody gets an obvious advantage by pushing off and gaining a body length or so downfield, then obviously, yeah, that'd be a good call. I have another one. at what point in the final video do you whistle the penalty? On the deflection, or as the four or five look to shoot? You would wait for the shot, and if they make an attempt to block it, you call it. I don't think you'd want to call it before that shot is taken. You got to call it right as that shot is basically taken, and you can see the intent is to block the ball. So make the call right then. That would be my take on that particular one. So I have, unfortunately, I've got a question from, I have two questions I was not able to answer because my email just was not cooperating properly. I'll take one more look to see if I can get those two questions up. I got a question here. Pushes off with left hand before the defender is called for the penalty. I think we covered that. And the other question was, what about the two-meter defender who's sinking the offensive player to stretch for the ball? And I'm not sure which clip that was on. So I think you can give me a call if you have if you want that question answered. I'll stick with the phone for a while if anybody wants to give me a call and talk to me about anything that was presented. But again, please send your feedback. And I appreciate your comments. And if there's anything I can do to make this better, please let me know. And the next one will be next Thursday night, 8:30 Central Time. And I look forward to talking to you then.